Amen. To my mother, my mama. Lift your hand, mama. I know you're short, but just try to lift it. And just so good to have my mother in the house of the Lord with us. And, you know, we've been talking and we're going to see what the Lord is doing. We're just listening and waiting on what God is doing and how God is doing it. Yet, you all have to grasp, you know, what I'm saying and I'm stating. Because some of you are like, oh, you know, it's just his mom, this, that, and the other. My mom has not come to, you know, she's a member of another church. Been a member of that church, gosh, I don't know, practically all her life. And so to have her here, and she's come on any special occasion we have and things like that. I remember when I got the call to pastor it in 2008. Told my mom, and she was so happy for me. Oh, she was so happy, you know, proud mama. I'm the baby boy, and you know, just excited. And you know, I don't know if she was reduced to tears or not. But after all of that excitement, she said, "But I'm still not leaving my church, though. Just so you know, be praying for you over there. But I'm gonna stay at my church. It's a praise and worship leader for 50 plus years at her church, but." Could be that the Lord is doing something, and we'll see. We just pay attention to what Holy Spirit says, but I just need you to know how special it is to me of even the probability, because if the Lord says so, hear me, I'm 47, if the Lord says so, it will be the first time in my entire life that I have gone to church with both my parents. The household I was raised in was a beautiful household, but my parents went to two different churches. Father went to Price Memorial, mother went to Faith Temple. That was all my life. So it could be that at this season in my life, for the very first time, as a pastor, I say this with all humility and grace, but not too many people can say there. They mama and they daddy's pastor. I mean, that would be pretty cool. But they don't call me pastor. Neither one of them do. Neither one of them do. And they really don't. But I just stopped to share that, mom. That was all right? Yes, yes. I'm just excited about what the Lord potentially could be doing here. So, you know, if you don't know who she is, some of y'all can't see her. I know she's not the... You know, we don't have a whole lot of height in the family, not a whole lot, although my sons, Patterson and Brandon, are actually taller than us. But if you see the little lady that's always sharp and got the fly hat on, come on now, got the fly hat on. Her and Pam holding, they hold it down. Pam, put your hand up right there, Pam. Come on. Somebody yell out, the hat is back. The hat is back. The hat is back. What you talking about? Come on now. Y'all know if we was in the Church of God in Christ Church, it'd be hats all over the place right now. You better lean on a woman and say, girl, you better wear your hat. You better wear your hat. You better wear your hat, girl. Don't trip. Ain't nobody gonna talk about you. You wear your hat around here. Wear your suit. You better do you now. For real. You got all them good clothes sitting in there and wearing sweatsuits to church. Girl, you better dress up. Put your hat on. Your Boaz might be up in here. You just coming to church this old, any old kind of way. Putting Nikes on. Girl, you better put them good shoes on. Put that good purse in your hand. You better show up to church like you could me. You never know what God has in store for you. I'ma just press my way on. Girl, you better put the press on and the press on in. You better put the makeup on, brush your teeth real good, put your good skirt on, put your spank on, do it all up. Get ready, Boaz might show up. I need every single woman in here to lean on somebody and say, is Boaz here now? Is he here now? Is he here now? Every single woman in here. Is he here now? I'm telling you. My Lord. My wife says she got her boys. Amen. 17 years in July, huh? 17 years. All right, you all ready to receive the word from my beautiful wife, First Lady? Can you stretch your hands forward? Father, we just thank you for this precious gift, this jewel. Gift to the house, Lord God, certainly a gift to me. Father God, I just lay hands upon a womb as it is impregnated with the word of Jesus Christ. Father God, let every ear, every eye, heart, and spirit be open to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to specifically say to them today, Lord God. Let her preach with the power and the authority, the strength given unto her. Holy Spirit, may you completely take over this woman of God and saturate this house. In Jesus' name. Amen. Receive my wife with a hand clap if you would. Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Father, let truth fall in this house. Let the spirit of truth fall in this house. Let the spirit of truth fall. Let truth fall in this place. Let the spirit of truth, we receive the truth. We receive all the truth, the whole truth. Let spirit of truth fall in this place. We want the spirit of truth. We want to walk in the spirit of truth. We want to speak the spirit of truth. We want to love in spirit and truth. Oh God, let the spirit of truth, the spirit of truth fall in this house. The spirit of truth. Hallelujah. 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 If we can go ahead and just turn our Bibles to Galatians 3:1. Hallelujah. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly betrayed among you as crucified? Turn to someone and tell them truth under fire. Truth under fire. You can have your seats. The truth is under fire. What we know that is truth, it's under fire. The enemy is coming against the truth. The enemy wants to steal, to plunder the truth, the seed of God that's been planted in us. Some of us have been saved for a very long time, and you're starting to see in the body of Christ where the enemy is coming against the truth. And we're starting to second guess what the truth is. Truth under fire. Let me read Galatians 3:1, the NLT version. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you have seen a picture of his death on the cross. Under fire. Truth is under fire. And when I say under fire, it's almost like a missile is being launched. Under fire, it's being shot at. It's being attacked. It's being severely criticized. The truth. See, these attacks come with deception and lies that are being poured out to the body of Christ. And so we have to take a stand in what we know that is true. You see it all in the culture, all in the world. And there's so many that are starting to speak their own truth. What they believe is true. What we feel is true. See, we have a lot of opinions, but just because we have an opinion, it doesn't mean that it is true. Because feelings change. But the word of God, truth, remains the same. Truth. That's what we're talking about. That it's under fire. See, sometimes we don't want the truth because the truth will cause us to look at the man or the woman in the mirror and take a deeper examination of who we are and where we are in our life and how we're walking in truth, in God, our lifestyle. So sometimes we don't want the truth. But then there's others, they want the truth, but they don't want to give up the pleasures to keep the truth. Truth under fire. So let me ask a question. What is truth? Turn your Bibles to John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Now here you have Jesus saying that I am. And he's showing his deity. He's showing his place in Trinity, in the Godhead. Because remember when God was sending Moses out to deliver the children of Israel. And he was afraid that he wasn't capable of carrying out the mission that God was asking him to do. And he said, well, who should I tell them? What's your name? Who should I tell them sent me? And God said, tell them I am. And so here we have Jesus saying, I am. Showing his place of authority as God in the Godhead. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. Hallelujah. What is truth? Number one, Jesus is truth. It clearly states it, John 14 and 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, truth is found in Jesus. Nowhere else. Nowhere else are you going to find the truth. And what is it about the name of Jesus? What is it that just the mention of his name, that it stirs up something? Either they will love you or they will hate you. What is it? Not too long ago, I'm going to tell this experience that we had, my husband and I. We were at a meeting, and we happened to mention the name of Jesus. And in this meeting, you can see where they became like paralyzed almost. Speechless. They didn't know what to say. And then you saw the facial expression change. What is it about the name of Jesus? See, the Bible says that at the mention of his name, that the demons, they tremble. The name of Jesus. Because it's truth. The Bible says every knee is going to bow. The nations are going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. Jesus is truth. Truth cannot be found nowhere else. Number two, the word of God. It's true. John 1 and 14. And the word became flesh. There it is. Jesus, the word. The word of God, truth. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Turn to Psalms 119 and 40. We're talking about the word of God, this Bible. It says, your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. If we want what is true, what is true about yourself? What is true about people? What is true about the world? What is true about the future, the past, a good life, the truth about God? Then come to God's word. It teaches only the truth. Turn to John 17, 14 through 17. And it reads, I have given them your word. Here is Jesus praying to the Father. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. See, the world will hate you when you proclaim the word of Jesus, when you speak the word of truth. There is going to come some hate, some dislike. The world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Jesus said it. What is truth? The word of God is true. So if you are looking and you're searching for the truth, it's found in Jesus and it's found in his word. And the Bible says that he is the word. Do you know that in some countries that the Bible is banned? Not only is it banned, you can be beaten, thrown in prison, or even lose your life because of the Bible. And here in this country, we still have freedom to read the word of God. Just give God a hand clap of praise on that. That we still have freedom. That we don't take it for granted. That we can still read the word of truth. There was a magazine that came out last year. I don't know if some of you knew this. I heard about this and I had to research it for myself. There was a magazine. I'm not going to name the magazines, but the editors of this magazine, and it happened back in April of 2018, and it listed 21 books you don't have to read. Say, truth is under fire. And in this list, the Bible was listed as number 12. So if you don't think that the truth of God is under fire, think again. Because the enemy is out to wipe us, to erase everything that we know about the truth, to annihilate it. And see, there was nothing listed about the watchtower, Jehovah's Witnesses. There was nothing listed about the Quran. So why is that? Why the Bible? What is it about the Bible that is so, so special that you would try to wipe it out from the face of the earth? But I'm here to tell you that the truth will remain. It had come from generation to generation to generation, from decade to decade. It will remain. The Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will stand. Truth under fire. And see, Jesus had to deal with this hate because he was truth. He had to deal with the betrayal and the false accusations. Number three, what is truth? God, Holy Spirit. John 14. 15 through 17. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and you will be in, and will be in you. We must know the truth. God, Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of truth. When you look at the Daniel, I didn't give them this scripture. But when you look at the life of Daniel, in Daniel 6, you don't have to turn to it. Hallelujah. Daniel. And we have a Daniel. Hallelujah. When you look at the life of Daniel, the Bible says that he had an excellent spirit. He was a man of prayer. And it came a time when the truth that he believed in was under fire. The Bible says in Daniel 6 how the king Darius put him high in authority over some of the other governors. And because of that, they sought to bring a plot against him. And because he was a man of an excellent spirit. They couldn't really find anything that they can bring false accusation against him. So what they did, they knew that he loved his God. So they thought, well, maybe this is a way that we can bring these lies, these false accusations against him. So they did. And King Darius, he signed the decree that if anyone caught praying, they will be thrown into the lion's den. But Daniel loved his God. He loved what was true. And he refused to not pray. And he stood on the truth. What I'm saying is, it doesn't matter what the enemy tries to do, or what the world is doing, or what the world is saying. When you know the truth to be the truth, do the truth. Stand in the truth. Walk in the truth. Speak the truth. And that's what Daniel did. Truth. Daniel Bilstein. You know what? Let me just release this on you. If you could just stand, I don't want to bring too much attention to me. Let me just release this to you. Only Daniel. I just believe that the Lord is saying that you are a man of wisdom and you have a great heart. You have a servant's heart. And I hear the Lord saying that you would prefer to be in the background. But I hear the Lord saying there is a lot of solutions on the inside of you that he's given you. And I hear that you're almost like a strategist. That you know how to just, you strategize, you bring solutions to problems. I hear the Lord saying, you like to be in the background, but it's time for you to come forward. Because you have the word of the Lord in your mouth. You like to be just not seen, but God's saying it's time for you to be seen. And not because you want to be seen, but because he wants you to be seen. Because there's something in you that he's put in you from the foundations of the earth before you got here that he wants to use in this season. A strategist. He wants you to release it to the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Genesis 39 and 9. Let's look at Joseph, who stood on truth. Now, we know the story of Joseph, how he's in the house, Potiphar's house, and he was given everything, control, authority over everything in the house. And then Potiphar's wife, she's eyeing him down, looking at him. Because the Bible says that he was handsome. So she took a liking to him. And Genesis 39 and 9, there is no one greater in this house than I. Nor has he kept back anything from me but you. This is what Joseph is telling her. Because you are his wife. How then can I go? How can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God? He said, I'm not sinning against God. I'm not sinning against what I know is right and what is true. No, He said, I'm going to run. And that's exactly what he did. Sometimes in situations, you just have to run. You have to run. And this is exactly what he did. He ran from the temptation. So I want to tell someone, run. Run. You know what is true. You know what is right. Run. Refuse to give in to the enemy. Refuse to give in to it. Refuse to give in to temptation. Run from the enemy. And then there was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They wouldn't bow and worship the idol. They refused. Because they knew they couldn't do it. Because they were taught all their lives that they could worship no other God but the only true living God. And so they said, we'd rather just die. We're not going to bow. We're not going to worship your God. Because this God is a dead God. This God isn't alive. And if my God does not rescue me, I still will not bow. God is taking the body of Christ to a place. We have to get to a place that we will not bow, even if it costs us our lives, because we believe in the truth, the only true living God. Say, truth under fire. It's under fire. Now, here are some benefits of the truth. The truth leads and guides us. If we today need to be guided and to be led down the right path, the righteous path, the narrow path that leads to him, that leads to Jesus, that's a benefit of walking in the truth. But see, the enemy wants to get you off course. He wants you to be not aligned with God, out of alignment. He wants you to go down a dark path. That's a benefit of the truth. It leads you and guide you. Look at John 16 and 3. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you the things to come. See, sometimes we need to know what the enemy is up to. Sometimes we need to know so we can take a different route. We need to know what he's up to so we can ask God to dethrone it, to dismantle the plans of the enemy. And see, we got to be led by truth, the Spirit of truth. Benefits of truth. Number two, it teaches us, it instructs us. Psalms 25 and 5, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I will wait all the day. He will teach you. He teaches us. He teaches us truth. It will teach us. It will teach us about the things of the Lord. Things that we need to know. Things that can only come from revelation. Sometimes we just need a downpour, a revelation, a download at a moment's time when we don't know what we should do or the choices that we should make. So the benefit of walking in truth, it teaches us, instructs us. And then number three, it preserves you. John 16 and 13. I just read that. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He'll preserve you. And number four, the benefits of truth protects us. The truth will protect you. In Psalms 91 and 4, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Benefits of the truth. It protects. Number five, it brings freedom. John 8 and 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, shall make you free. The truth, it causes chains to fall off. It breaks bondages. It breaks yokes. Freedom. There's liberty. Freedom. The truth brings freedom. And number six, and this could be number one, the truth brings salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Benefits of the truth. Salvation. We wouldn't be here without the truth. Someone speaking the truth. Someone leading us to Jesus. We wouldn't be here without the truth. Going to the cross. Without the truth. Dying on the cross. Resurrecting from the dead. The truth, Jesus. The truth. Hallelujah. We must know the truth and walk in the truth. We don't have time in this hour now to second guess God, to second guess Jesus, to second guess what we know is true. In this hour, we have to know. There has to be a knowing in your heart, in your spirit, man, a knowing that you know, that you know, that you know. What the truth is. Study the truth. The truth, the word. Be good stewards of the word. The truth. Get to know Jesus intimately. Fall in love with the Holy Spirit. Truth. Jesus, the Word, Holy Spirit. allow God to correct us in the truth. Because who he loves, he corrects. Allow God to correct you in the truth. I know sometimes the truth, it hurts, it cuts. We don't like it. Our flesh don't like it. But allow God to correct us in his truth. Because he wants us to go somewhere. He's taking us somewhere. And we have to take the truth with us. See, you can't just go anywhere speaking your truth. You got to have the truth of God in you. See, because what happened with the sons of Sceva? You know, the son, yeah. They were trying to imitate. They didn't know the truth. They didn't know God. They didn't know Jesus. And then they tried to go and demonstrate works without the truth. We cannot operate without the truth. And what happened to them? That man. Well, let's just say they ran out of there naked because that spirit tore them up because they were trying to operate and go and they didn't even have permission. See, you have permission when you walk with the truth and the truth is on the inside of you. When you're living a life of truth, God's give you the permission, the access, the authority, and the power to go into some places, to go before kings and princes. The truth. We have a responsibility to minister the truth to the lost. Do you believe that? Because they need the truth. And if we don't go and give them the truth, then they're not going to know who Jesus is. We have a responsibility. Even if they don't receive it, we still have to speak the truth. Because some, you still have to speak the truth. Even when they don't like it and they won't receive it. Because maybe you're just there to plant it. Just to plant the truth. And then another one will come along and they'll water it. And then God will say, okay, it's time for the increase. It's time for the increase. And then God, the truth, comes in and pour out the increase. Listen to 2 Timothy, because we do have a responsibility to minister the truth. 2 Timothy 2. 24 and 26. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been captive by him to do his will. See, we are responsible because maybe your truth that you give them will snatch them from the flames of hell. They might be on right on the doorstep, but you come along and you pour out the truth in them, and it snatched them back. It snatched them away. It snatched them out the hand of the adversary. Because of your truth, we have a responsibility in this hour and in this season to release the truth. They might not want to receive it, but release it anyway. There's a mandate on the truth on the inside of you. Let the truth come forth like the rivers of many waters. Let the truth. truth be poured out of you. You have a responsibility. Yeah, it's under fire. The enemy wants to quench the truth. But it has lived. It has lived generations. It's never gonna die. It's never gonna die. Because Jesus is truth, and the Bible says that he lives. He reigns and he lives forevermore. And our lives are hidden in him. We must settle in our hearts in this season. Settle in your heart that God loves you. That God loves you. See, knowing that he loves you, knowing the depth of love, even though our mind cannot even comprehend the love that he has for us, and why would he love us? Why? Because when we look at our lives, and even though he said, I've thrown it into the sea of forgetfulness, so why you keep bringing it up? Why you keep going back and getting it? Why you keep going through the trash and you picking it up out of the trash? Because we don't understand his love and his forgiveness. But in this season, we have to settle in our hearts that he loves us. He loves us. We are his beloved. He loves us. He loves me. Because John 3:16 says that he gave Jesus. He so loved the world. See, he loves everybody. Everybody has a chance. Everybody has a chance to come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Everybody. He wants not no one to perish. The atheist, no one. In Peter 4:8, it talks about how above all things have fervent love for one another, for love will cover. See, his love covered our sin. It covered. You must know that he loves you. You must know to purpose in your heart to know that he's good. He's a good God. It says in Psalms 23:6, surely goodness and his mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalms 145:6 says, the Lord is good to all. Settle that in your heart that he is good. And his tender mercies are over all his works. Psalms 25:8, good and upright is the Lord. He's good. Therefore, he teaches sinners in their way. He's good and upright. Settle in your heart that God is just. God sees the injustice. He sees all the unjust things that happens to us in our lives. He sees it. He is just. Isaiah 30:18. Therefore, the Lord will wait, and he may be gracious to you. And therefore, he will be exalted, and he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. He is a God of justice. He saw what they said. He saw what they did. He saw what they manipulated and what they plotted against you. He saw it. He said, vengeance belongs to me. Settle in your heart that he is a just God. Listen to Romans 9:15, the English Standard Version. What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. He's a just God. Truth is under fire. Come on, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for truth, for you are truth. Father, pour out your truth on us and in us. Father, we want your truth. Oh, God, we need your truth. We need your truth in this day and this hour. Father, we don't want to be deceived, but we want your truth. We want to eat your truth. We want to prophesy your truth. We want to hear your truth. Father, rain on us to see the truth, to distinguish between what is good, what is truth, and what is false. We will not, Father, go down the road of error. The spirit of error, we cancel that assignment against us. Yes. We cancel the assignment of deception against us. But we will be a people of truth. Yes. Yes. We will walk in truth all the days of our lives. And we will stand up for the truth. For your word is truth, O God. For we will gird up the loins, our loins, with the belt of truth. We put on the belt of truth as our weaponry. Forever hide us in your truth. We thank you for the truth. Come on and give him praise for the truth. Hallelujah. Give him praise for the truth. It'll set you free. The truth will deliver you. The truth will heal you. The truth. You know how they swear on the Bible when in a courtroom? You swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. We promise to walk in the truth and nothing but the truth. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. The altar is open. And this call is for those you've been walking in untruth. Maybe untruth was spoken over you. Maybe you were told a lie.
Yes.
So you need to come to the altar and let God break the lie off of you. That you will begin to walk in the path of truth. So if that is you, you were told untruth.
Lift your hands all over the building. What my wife is speaking is that there are many of you who have been lied on, talked about, told you would never amount to anything. From the time some of you were young to some of you within your adult life. And let me tell you, it is such a challenge to live and understand the complete truth of Christ. There's so many things that you're tied down with personally. And there's lies and deception that have been spoken over you. There's many of you who are dealing with that. I'm speaking to your heart right now. I just want you to come forth, come to this altar and lay it all down here today. You don't have to walk out of here another day without having those lies and those deceptive words. These words can be spoken to you by anyone, certainly by a parent, by someone that you trusted, someone that you had confidence in. And they were just words, and those words imparted into your spirit. And you find yourself fighting those words on a daily basis. You know who you are. Come quickly to the altar. Don't be backward. Just come down to the altar and say, Pastor, I've been dealing with that. I'm an adult, and I've been dealing with that. I've been fighting stuff off of me that was spoken over my life since I was a young person. I've had stuff spoken over me even in my adult life that I'm still trying to fight off. You'll never become anything. You'll be just like your daddy was. Be just like your auntie. Nobody's successful in this family. I know you say you're saved now, but eventually you'll fall back into who you used to be. Those are words that we fight on a daily basis. And depending upon what surroundings you're around, that will mark measure to the depth of your fight. Thank you for those of you coming down to the altar in courage and in strength. It's not easy to be the minority within the functionality of the group that you are with. It's not easy. It's not easy to be the one or the two of the 10 that are standing on truth. But we must stand on truth because of what truth is. And we know truth is what? Jesus. That's what truth is. Truth is not just a word. Truth is a man and a Savior who died for us. Thank you for these brave and courageous men and women that have come to the altar. I want to ask those altar workers to quickly, man with a man, woman with a woman, quickly get these folks. Just begin to pray with them as the altar team leads us in song. I just want to love on you. I just want to be.
To the altar. If there's any other thing that you need prayer for, come on down to the altar and someone will pray with you.
Amen.
The
Amen.
Truth.
Listen, there's a man or woman here today. Just come down to the altar.
Hallelujah.
There's another area of prayer that we just want to touch and agree with you. There's another area that you're seeking God for. You need prayer over. I just want to touch and agree with you. Just pray with me. Before we prepare to depart here in just a few moments. Powerful word. all of us got friends. I mean, so that would be everybody raising their hand. I'm talking about you got family there, you work there, what have you. Lift your hand. Lift your hand. Yeah. Because I know that this week, and I'm sure you do as well, I believe Mark, the last cruise coming off the line. There's been stuff all over the news, all in the papers, things like that. The media's just doing their job, believe you me. It's not a happy time whatsoever. But I want to tell each of you, any of you that work for GM or have family members connected, this did not catch God by surprise. Jesus is yet on the throne. And let me tell each of you who serve the living God that I do, I will guarantee you that God will take care of you. Because your sword, somebody better help me in this place. See, somebody need to give God praise who has been in a position where a transition happened. And God came out of nowhere and did something that you never... I'm telling you, all we can do is trust God. We're trusting God throughout the city, but each of you, especially those of you who work there, you best believe your pastor and first lady, leadership of this church, as well as the body, are praying for you. We know that God, I know God's going to make a way. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed. Has God brought you this far to leave you? Wilbert, I saw the interview. I saw it. I saw the interview in Cleveland News. I saw that. I saw it this week. A friend of mine sent that to me. And you did an interview along with your wife. And you were talking to, I believe, Lydia. And there were tears. Emotions that poured out of you, as they have thousands of workers. It only makes you human. And I saw that, man of God, and I just need you to know that my spirit began to well up, began to pray for you and to cover you and your family, knowing the capability of my God. If I hadn't seen him make a way out of no way, I couldn't really tell about it. But I've actually experienced God acting. Oh, I read about it in the Bible, but then I experienced it. Is there anybody who actually ever experienced God doing what God? I know God doesn't get joy out of a season like this, but I believe that it excites him when he realizes he's got an opportunity to show himself. When everybody else is saying that everything else is going to fail, that, oh my goodness. God is excited in this season because he's going to take, if God's going to take care of anybody, he's showing up going to take care of his people. Is he not going to take care of his people? So we just bless you and cover you, all of you connected to GM. Y'all be blessed, be favored, and may the doors of the Lord open for your life. What a word by my beautiful wife today. Oh my goodness. True. That word will marinate in your spirits throughout the week. I promise you, it'll take you all the way into next week. Honey, we just thank you for delivering what you heard clearly from God to deliver to this house. And we will walk in the truth of God, no matter what backlash, because truth gets backlash. It's under fire. No matter what backlash we receive, we will walk in your truth. Amen. All right, I believe it's time to speak the blessing. You want to do the blessing, then? Yeah. She know I'm messing with her. She know I'm messing with her. She told me while I was out, she was like, oh, I was just jacking that blessing up every week. I said, well, babe, I've been doing it 10 years and I still mess it up. So, you know, it's all to the good. Listen, lift your hands, keep your eyes open if you would. As I said at the beginning of service, there's some of you here today that I didn't get a chance to see you last week. So we're going to make ourselves, we're going to make our way out to the hallway and just try to lose some love on you as you depart this afternoon. Again, remember, in a few weeks, Family and Friends Day, and as the Lord would have his way, I'll be back preaching next Sunday morning. May the Lord, to God be the glory. Amen. To God be the glory. That's not about me, but it is about the healing of our Lord Jesus Christ. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name in all the earth. We bless you coming and we bless you going. We bless all that you put your hands to. Here's the key. That is God intended for your purpose. We bless this season of your life. Somebody say, it's my best season. We speak that you will walk in truth. Say, I will walk in truth.
In truth.
We bless your homes, your jobs, your finances. We bless you emotionally, socially, and certainly spiritually. We serve such a mighty, mighty, wonderful God in spite of circumstances. God is not a circumstantial God. God is good because he's God. And I tell you each and every week, God's only given us one amazing life to live. All we can do is be excited, energetic, full of life, so much so that you do what?
Give it away.
I need you to high five or hug somebody on your way out. Listen, we love you. God bless you. See you next Sunday.